If I had chosen those songs myself, I couldn't have chosen more appropriate songs. They were just beautiful. You know that last time I was here, we studied the first few verses of chapter 2, which are Paul trying to solve a problem of unity in the church in Philippi. And so that's the context of this passage too. And now Paul goes on to use the wonderful example of Jesus coming down from heaven as an example for us. So we're going to start off with looking at it that way. When he says your attitude should be, he's not only talking to them as individuals, he's talking to them as a group. In English we can't tell the difference between you singular and you plural anymore, but this is you plural, and he's saying let this mind be among you. Let this be the atmosphere of your congregation. Let it be the way it works here, that that being in very nature God, he didn't hold on to those his Godhead. And what Paul is saying is that unity is more important than my position of honor. And certainly as God the Son, he had a place of honor, but he gave it up and he became Jesus, a humble carpenter. And it's the same here. Your place in the congregation is not as important as the unity of the congregation. We need to be willing to sacrifice some things for the sake of unity. He emptied himself. He had all that power, all the creative energy and inspiration that made giraffes and whales and butterflies, orchids and petunias and wildflowers, and you and you and you and you, so different, so wonderful, each of us. And he emptied all that. Unity is more important than my ability, my vision, my dream of what could be. And I want to tell you the story of my first year as a missionary. We were teaching in a Bible school in Java, and the principal of the Bible school was called Detmar Scheunemann, and the director of the candidates orientation for the graduates that came from the Bible school was his brother, Volkhard Scheunemann. And they were both theologically highly trained. Detmar was the older brother. Volkhard was very musical and idealistic and loved beauty. And Detmar was very, well, they were both very spiritual, but Detmar had an amazing closeness to Jesus. He was one of the factors in the Timor revival in 1965. And the revival was only just over when we got there in 1973. So it was beautiful to see this man who was so in touch with God. Volkard was a different man from Detmar, but for the sake of the unity in the team, Volkard recognized, okay, my big brother Detmar is the leader and we're going to do it his way. And Volkard sacrificed the vision that he had of some of more music in it, more art in it, so that Detmar could do it Detmar's way. There was no tension between them whatsoever. Taking the very nature of a servant. Unity is more important than my role and my job. Being made in human likeness. Unity is more important than my rights. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself. Unity starts with humility. And he became obedient to death, even a criminal execution. Unity starts with dying to myself. And then God highly exalted him. Beautiful verse in Numbers 12 and verse 3, Moses was very humble, more humble than any person on earth. Moses was known as the meekest man on earth. And yet God defended Moses against accusations from Miriam and Aaron that day in the desert. Why weren't you afraid to talk against my servant Moses? And God recognized Moses as the leader. Humility brings recognition. But there was a funny story. There was one congregation and they were amazed and impressed at the humility of their pastor. And they gave him a badge commending him for humility. And then they took it away again because he wore it. You can't win, can you? Now, that's why Paul wrote this section, but God used that trouble in that church to cause Paul to write that section, because there's so much more in it than that, isn't there? That was the message, the first message he wanted to get through to those people. But now, as Paul was writing this about Jesus, he wrote the clearest explanation in the whole New Testament of the deity, the perfect deity, and the perfect humanity of Christ. This passage became one of the hymns of the early church. And people are still writing hymns about it, and we sang two of them this morning. It's a marvelous passage of worship to the King of Kings who became willing to die. And the amazing thing is, even before he made the world, Jesus had agreed that this was God knew that we were going to sin. God knew that Adam would sin, and God knew that I would. Every single one of us, given the choice that Adam had, would have eventually chosen to go our own way. There's a lovely story about a gardener who worked for a wealthy person, and they were both Christians. And the gardener, he just hated the weeds, you know, and he'd go around pulling out a weed and saying, "Oh, Adam, oh, Adam." You know, it's Adam's fault. So the wealthy man invited the gardener to dinner. He just thought, I want to teach him something. And there was a lot of lovely food on the table. And in the center of the table, there was a dish with a silver cover over it. They were just about to sit down to dinner, and the wealthy man said, just sit down for a minute. I won't be long. I've just got to go and get something, and I'll be back. And the gardener sat there. Oh, but he said, "Don't touch that silver dish in the middle." And the gardener sat there, and he looked at all the food, and it was getting cold, and he wondered, what is this silver dish in the middle? What could it be, as well as all this wonderful stuff we've got? And the boss didn't come. He thought, "I'll just have a peep and see what it is." And he lifted up the silver handle just a little bit. And it was feathers. And he put the lid down quickly. And you know what feathers are like. They went... And he thought, "Oh, no. It's too late." No, and he's trying to get feathers out of the gravy and feathers out of all the food on the table and stuff them, and every time he'd lift up the lid to stuff them back in again, they'd puff out again. And then the boss came back, of course, and he said, "Oh, Adam, God knew that we would sin, and before they created the world, they had planned the whole thing. They still went ahead with it, knowing that we would sin, knowing that Satan would tempt us, because they want people who will choose God of their own free will. They knew that if Jesus came, if God became a human being and died, he could pay the penalty for sin, all of it, and we could be redeemed, and then we could respond in gratitude and choose to serve God of our own free will. He knew it would work. He knew the whole plan would succeed, and he went ahead with it, knowing all this that was going to happen, but knowing that it was going to succeed in the end. So God the Son said, "Yep, I'll go. I'll become Jesus. I'm willing to do that." And he emptied himself, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And here's a couple of Christmas carols struggling to express in human words what it must have meant for the Son of God, for the Word of God to become the Son of God, for God the Son to become a human being. "Come and behold him, born the King of angels, true God of true God, light from light eternal, a tiny speck in a virgin's womb." And there is proof that that motherhood is a sacred thing, and that God honors motherhood. Son of the Father, begotten, not created. It's just human beings trying to put into words that we can understand the amazing thing that happened. Veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. Hail, incarnate deity, pleased as man with man to dwell. Jesus, God with us. I don't know if you can read that size print, but I can, so I'll read it to you. This is the same few verses from the Message. He had equal status with God, but he didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status, no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave, became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process. He didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life and then died a selfless, obedient death. The worst kind of death at that, a crucifixion. And there's a new version called the Easy to Read version. I'd never heard of it before, but I was just looking for ways to express this a bit differently. And I like this one. He was like God in every way, but he didn't think that his being equal with God was something to use for his own benefit. Instead, he gave up everything, even his place with God. He accepted the role of a servant, appearing in human form. During his life as a man, he humbled himself by being fully obedient to God, even when that caused his death on a cross. And one more, the Amplified. It was so big it took two columns. Who, although being essentially one with God and in the form of God, possessing the fullness of the attributes which make God God, he didn't think this equality with God was a thing to be eagerly grasped or retained, but stripped himself of all privileges and rightful dignity so as to assume the guise of a servant, a slave, in that he became like men and was born a human being. And after he had appeared in human form, he abased and humbled himself still further and carried his obedience to the extreme of death, even the death of the cross. Therefore, God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus every knee will bow, heavenly, earthly, and devilish, celestial, terrestrial, and infernal. And every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. That's going to be a day when we kneel before Jesus, glorying in being the redeemed. I wonder if we will also see the demons angry and kneeling before Jesus, admitting, yeah, you are Lord. So here's two songs that people have sung to try and gather that, both of them Christmas carols. Sing, choirs of angels, sing in exultation, sing all you citizens of heaven above, glory to God in the highest. Oh, come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord. So Can we have that mic on again, please? Would you be willing to walk around? I'd like to proclaim a second open prayer session, not for asking things this time. I don't want anybody to ask for anything. I want you to just worship Christ the Lord. And while you're thinking about that, I wonder if we could have our organist back, please. And we're just going to sing, "Oh Come, Let Us Adore Him." You don't have to stand up. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Oh, come, let us adore Him. Christ the Lord. Thank you. Now, anybody, would you like to express in words your worship to the Lord Jesus?
Loving Heavenly Father, we praise and we thank you that when there is no one else and nowhere to go, we know that you are there, and underneath, holding us up, are the everlasting arms. Amen.
Oh Lord, we thank you that you are there. You're always with us, Lord, in the darkest of valleys, in the hardest of wilderness, Lord, you are there, and you are mighty, and you are strong, and we can trust you, Lord. I thank you for this.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your presence amongst us, and thank you for your forgiveness of our sins.
My Father in heaven, to think that you created, Lord, the tiniest viruses, bacteria, the fungi, the gorgeous flowers, our universe, human beings, animals, created. Wow. To think that you have that power, that creativity, and then, Lord, to turn around and choose me, a sinner, to come and sit at your table. Thanks barely seems adequate. But Lord, I thank you. Amen.
Heavenly Father, you are there when we are tired. You are there when we are weak. You lift us up. You carry us forward. You are our great provider. You bless us eternally, and you show us true love. We are forever grateful. We worship thee, Lord. Amen.
Dear Father, we thank you for your verse in Philippians, which says that you who have led us in the past will lead us in the future. What a wonderful present promise. Mm.
Loving God, how amazing it is that we have the record of that conversation in heaven when you said, in conversation with Jesus, your Son, who will go for us? And Jesus said, "Here am I, send me." How we bless you, Lord, for that. Amen.
Yeah, thank you. Heavenly Father, we do join together to say thank you, thank you, thank you for Jesus. Thank you that he thought we were worth it. That it was worth it for him to voluntarily give up all his rights as God and all his power as creator and just become only a human who didn't use those powers for all those 33 years unless you gave him permission like any man could pray. We're amazed, and yet we praise you for that example, and we come to you asking that we too can be filled with your fullness as he was, and that we too can see you at work in the world as we can see you work in the world through him. We worship the Father. We glorify the Father. We worship the Son. And we worship the Holy Spirit who lives in us to make it happen for us. Amen. Thank you.